Tonight we're starting a study in the book of Colossians. The Lord led in this direction, and we're on the first two verses tonight, Colossians chapter 1, 1 and 2. Stability through recalling the testimonies of Christ's servants on our salvation. Today's unsettling, insecure world has led many believers to become equally unsettled and insecure. So the need exists for us believers to focus on the stability and security we have in the Lord. This lesson went to press on Friday. And this morning, after the worship service, I talked with three people, a woman and two men, on restlessness and instability and unsettledness that they're facing in the workplace. And then I talked with a man about several relatives that he's facing who are professing believers, but they're facing unsettledness and insecurity as well. And then my wife relayed something to me that one of the children in our church said today, demonstrating unsettledness and insecurity. So this is a huge, huge need even amongst believers. So the Epistle of Colossians discloses the all-sufficiency and supremacy of our Lord Jesus Christ in ways that settle and provide security for us. And it does so starting at the epistle's first two verses. So we view Colossians 1, 1 and 2 for stability and recalling the testimonies of Christ's servants on our salvation. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Honestly, when I had first started preparing this message, I had it go up to the first eight verses. But when I started studying a little more in depth with the focus that we had, I had to stop at the first two verses. I was moved by something that we often take for granted, the statements that Paul and Timothy, who's writing the letter with him, what they made about their hearers, about their readers. Wonderful statements. In Colossians 1:1, Paul and Timothy, who were sending this epistle to the Colossian believers, are named, and they are described. And here and elsewhere in Scripture, we learn that they were very credible servants of the Lord. This is very important because the statements that are made about these people take on weight based upon the credibility of the parties that are making the statements. The introductory statement in this epistle testifies that Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now this statement, in view of the testimony of other believers and other scripture passages, makes the words of this entire epistle the authoritative word of God as follows. Paul began as a strong enemy of the church and its message of salvation by faith in Christ. He was very involved in the martyrdom of the church's first martyr, Stephen. You'll remember that in Acts chapter 7, 58. He was the witness at whose feet those who were doing the stoning laid their outer garments so that they could have freedom to throw the stones and whatnot. So Paul was very much involved in this martyrdom. And Paul made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women off to prison in Acts chapter 8, 1 through 3. We learn later in 1 Timothy 1, 12 to 13 that Paul said that he did this in ignorance and unbelief. But he said, I persecuted the church of God more than any of the other Jews who were on the Sanhedrin. He was something else. Nevertheless, Christ in his heavenly glory and sovereignty appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus, leaving him so shocked to learn that Jesus was Lord, and leaving Paul temporarily blinded. Remember, there were like scales that were on Paul's eyes, and later they fell off. But Paul was converted to Christ and regained his sight by God's grace, and the church was amazed at the conversion that occurred to him, glorifying the Lord in his transformation. In Acts chapter 9, 6 to 31, when the Lord sent Ananias, he said, go to Saul. And Ananias turned to the Lord and said, Lord, do you know what you're doing? This man has come with orders to capture us and to persecute us. And the Lord said, go, he's a chosen vessel. And I'm going to show him great things that he will suffer for us. And so Ananias went in and he called him Brother Saul. That was his name before they converted him over to Paul. And 1 Timothy, Galatians chapter 1, 21 to 24, Paul says that the people had only heard, the believers had only heard that he had been converted, and they glorified God in Christ, glorified God because of Paul. They were just amazed that this is a man who had been involved in killing Christians, murdering them, and here he is transformed to such an extent that at Damascus he stood up for Jesus Christ, and he risked his life to the point where the fellow Christians actually had to let him down over the wall in one of these large baskets that hold a man so that he would escape the death himself. And that when Paul got back to Jerusalem, he was such a vociferous witness for the Lord Jesus Christ that it created unsettledness amongst the Christians. So the Christians shipped him up and they sent him back to Tarsus. And it says a very cute statement there, the church finally had rest. Because not until Paul was out of there. He was too vociferous a witness when he was a young convert. And he had to tone it down a little bit before the Lord could effectively use him. Well, the Lord Jesus then commissioned Paul to be an apostle, according to Acts 9:15 and 16, and thus to write scripture and bear authority in the church right along with Jesus' other disciples. In fact, in Colossians and 1 Corinthians 9:1, Paul says, am I not an apostle with the others? And Ephesians chapter 2, 19 and 20 tells us that the apostles were the foundation of the church. So here's a man who at one time was murdering Christians, killing them, and he has been plugged in to become a foundation. In fact, if Paul wrote Hebrews, we don't know that he did, but if he wrote Hebrews, he wrote half of the New Testament. This is a man who had killed Christians. So the transformation in that man's life is just remarkable. So there's no question that Paul was an apostle. Furthermore, Paul claimed that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. That's the Father. So his calling went beyond all that of all the all-sufficient and supreme Lord Jesus to include also the will of God the Father. So his ministry was all the more important, authoritative, and significant. You got two members of the Godhead that are involved in the calling of Paul and the will of Paul that he become an apostle. And you also have the Holy Spirit, obviously, by way of implication. Paul added that his spiritual brother Timothy was also with him, and that he thus consented to Paul's words in the epistle. And Timothy was a proven co-worker of Paul's. Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22, makes a very interesting statement about Timothy, and this demonstrates his credibility, and I like just to read it. Philippians 2, 19 to 22. Paul says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus, that's Timothy, shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ's. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he served with me in the gospel. So this is an amazing compliment that Paul makes with Timothy. All the other workers that he had with him were looking out for themselves in some way, not Timothy. Timothy was self-sacrificing. He was prepared to do what God wanted to get done, no matter if it made him look good or bad. He didn't care. He was in it for the Lord. So this was a very credible servant of the Lord who was writing with Paul. Now, these very credible servants, you have the Apostle Paul who was transformed, whose life was dramatically transformed. Timothy, who was known by the Apostle Paul as a man who did not look out for his own interests. He looked out for the interests of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul and Timothy wrote that their readers were saints. The Greek term being hagios, that's the noun, plural, meaning saints or Christians as consecrated to God. So these two men testified that their readers were truly saved people. This is very important because in the Jewish law, the testimony of two or three witnesses established something to be a fact. You got two witnesses. You got Timothy and you got Paul, credible men. Paul, of course, the great apostle, and Timothy, a man who looked out, who was not looking out for his own interests, but the interests of Christ. Both of them testified that these people were saints. That's a weighty testimony. That's something that is very, very credible and worthwhile to hold on to. Paul and Timothy added that their Colossian readers were faithful brothers in Christ, not only true Christians, but believers who had lived for a period of time in faithfulness to the Lord in their walk. That must have been a tremendous encouragement to these people. It's interesting, before you even get out of verses 1 and 2, you've got God using the apostle and Timothy to encourage these people. Their salvation is real, not only because of what they've experienced and so forth, how it fits Scripture, but by the testimony of very credible servants of God. They are saved people, and they are people who are faithful brothers in Christ. Now, these very credible servants of Christ then wished God's grace and peace upon their readers. Paul and Timothy's greeting wished grace and peace from God our Father. And the best manuscript evidence omits the King James Version's claim that the Lord Jesus Christ is also exhibiting this grace and peace. I know the King James Version puts it in there because the Textus Receptus, which is behind the KJV, does, but the best manuscripts don't put it in there. So Paul wished for them God's favor, that's his grace, and a healthy condition of life. The word peace is actually the normal Jewish salutation. It's a shalom in Hebrew. Now here he's writing in Greek. In Greek it's eirene. But nevertheless, it's shalom. And Paul, whenever a Jew like Paul and sought peace for another person, they were thinking of the general welfare, health, financial welfare, getting along with your friends, happiness in your family, married life, and so forth. This is just a wonderful thing that Paul is wishing for these people, the grace from God, and then all-around happiness and blessing in life. So the Colossian recipients of Paul and Timothy's epistle to them provided tremendous stability and assurance as these two highly credible servants of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father together testified that their Colossian readers were saints, truly saved believers who were also faithful in the life of the Lord, in life to the Lord. And Paul and Timothy wished their readers God's grace with a resulting healthy condition of life and peace from God the Father. Now, in application, may we recall the testimony of credible servants of the Lord regarding our conversions and our change of lives from pre-salvation to post-salvation status as assurances of a credible evidence of our salvation. May we also take heart from the blessings such credible servants of the Lord have spoken in our behalf toward the Lord's blessing in our lives and ministries, that we might be more stabilized and settled in our walk with the Lord. Many years ago, when I was a boy at Kent Academy, there was a boy who was attending our school who was very troubled. He got into a lot of trouble. He's one of the children of missionary parents. He was often spanked in the dorm, and also even in the classroom, the teacher would send him down to the principal's office, and the principal was a Canadian man by the name of Jack Phillips. And he would pull the hand out there and take a razor strap and bring it down on his hand, so forth. But he was just, he didn't get along with the teacher in the classroom, didn't get along in anything. Well, this boy, shortly before his parents were due to go home for a furlough, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. He went home to the States, and then he came back after furlough, and the school was dreading his return because he'd been a handful to handle. Well, his life was dramatically changed. And one day, they were practicing track. They would have a track meet with another missionary school from another mission organization and so forth. They would have an annual track meet every year. So they were out running the 220-yard dash, which is halfway around there, the soccer field. And this boy dug in, and he started to run, started to do his best. And the principal, Jack Phillips, was out there around the last corner before they came into the home stretch. And he saw this boy, he was in third. Now, before he was saved, he wasn't good in athletics or anything, just a C student and so forth. And Mr. Phillips saw this boy coming around the corner, and he made a comment. He said, "I've never seen such a positive change in a boy's life as I've seen in your life." He just blurted it out right there. And this kid went ahead and finished. He was surprised, but he went ahead and finished the race. And that made a tremendous change in that boy's life. to hear that the principal, who at one time had disciplined him severely and so forth, make the comment that his life had been dramatically changed. And that was an evidence to that boy that he had come to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. And that life was changed. It's just amazing. That is something that we can latch on to. If people have seen a change in your life and they have commented on it, grasp onto that comment. Those comments are worth something, especially if they come from credible people, because that is one of the evidences of the stability that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. No, that isn't the ultimate. Obviously, we have to check Scripture and make sure that we know the Lord is our Savior. Scripture is our ultimate authority. But the statements of God's credible servants are worth something. And God, the credible servant, the statements that these people make about you are important. You know, if you want to go to a school somewhere, you have to get references. And because that's what they're looking for. They're looking for people who are credible people, and they want to, and they ask for a reference. They send a reference, you get a reference, and they send it. And that way you can be accepted. But so it's worth something. So rely on that to some degree and take encouragement from that. When I was being ordained as a pastor, they recorded the ordination ceremony. And the pastor said, "We want to give this tape to you, Don, so that if you ever get really discouraged in the ministry, play the tape. Play the tape." And I've never had to play it. It's in my office. I don't. It's a cassette tape. I don't even know if we have a cassette recorder anymore, but nevertheless, it's there. But they wanted me to rely upon the statements that they had made, and they said, "And it's very, very important. You need that." So trust, and then utilize the testimonies of Christ's credible servants regarding your salvation.